edition of Fiber Hooligan. I'm your host, Benjamin Levesay, and for the next hour or so, I'd like to invite you to grab your cup of coffee, tea, or Diet Dr. Pepper, if that's your beverage of choice, and settle in for the 21st episode of Fiber Hooligan. For those of you who are wondering who the heck I am the CEO of XRX Inc., home of Knitters Magazine, XRX Books, and Stitches Expos. And I'm broadcasting live from my home here in Harrisburg, South Dakota. Before I get to the show today, I wanted to give you all an update on the podcast throwdown. For those of you who have been tuning in, last week I had a mini episode on Labor Day. And our friends over at the Naughty Girls issued a podcast-wide challenge, anybody in the fiber arts podcasting world to match hats. And I think it's a matter of pride, although there's probably going to end up being some prizes for things, to see who can get the most hats knit, crocheted, or otherwise donated by Stitches West. I'm happy to announce that since then, Heather from Craftlit has joined the fray, accepting the challenge to knit hats for Hills of Hope. And regarding the number of hats being knit or crocheted, it looks like the Naughty Girls and the Knitmore Girls are neck and neck for the number of hats so far. You can learn more about this on our Ravelry group, or you can learn about it on the Ravelry group we have set up for this, and that Ravelry group's name is Podcaster Throwdown. And I will be having updates about this subject and the throwdown at the top of every show from now until Stitches West. Okay. My guest today is someone that I can best describe as a fiber arts evangelist. She is a lovely person who I've had the good fortune to work with for several years now. Today she'll be talking to us about herself, only because I'm going to make her, and the Arkansas Fiber Arts Extravaganza, which I consider a great event and an up-and-coming show in the fiber arts community. I'm speaking to my friend, the delightful Ann Hamilton Bean. Ann joins us from Paris, Arkansas this morning. Good morning, Ann, and welcome to the show.
Hi there, Benjamin. How are you today?
Well, I'm doing really well. It's a beautiful Monday here. How about there?
It's great. A little overcast, but not too hot.
Well, that's wonderful. So, did you do anything fun this weekend?
Oh, yeah. Yes, we had our son and his family here from Utah. We only get to see them about once a year, and usually we go out there. And he and his children and his lady friend were able to come. And then our other son, who lives about 2 hours away, was able to come with his wife and two children. And we just had a good old family reunion, had a great time.
You have grandkids?
Yes.
You are too young to have grandkids.
Oh, well, thank you. We have another one on the way in January, so we're excited about that.
Okay, so since we're talking about your family, I need you to tell the Fiber Hooligans about your husband, because what he does is cool, and our listeners have to hear about this.
Okay, well, my husband is a magician, and he started with sleight of hand and card tricks back in college. And he has been a member of the International Brotherhood of Magicians for well over 25 years now. He's in the Order of Merlin. He has been in that group for over 25 years. That's where you get in that order when you've been in over 25 years. And he is the territorial vice president for the state of Arkansas for the International Brotherhood of Magicians.
That just sounds like a cool job. I wish I had, like, you know, that kind of talent.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he does great with kids. But the adults get the most kick out of it because he has a lot of subtle humor going on, too.
By subtle, do you mean innuendo on occasion?
Oh, no. No.
No,
it's totally clean and family oriented. Just subtle things that adults are so sly that children might not catch on to them, but adults do, and it just adds to the fun and mystery.
Okay, so he has the dexterity for the sleight of hand. Have you taught him how to knit or crochet?
No, but he is very experienced at, he can look at a finished object and tell whether it is knit or crocheted. And even more, he can show me if something is good or bad. He showed me something that a friend of his posted recently that was bad. He says, "Look at this." And I'm like, "Yeah, you've got a good eye." So he's an appreciator, and you know, I appreciate his magic, and he appreciates my knitting.
Well, that sounds like a great thing. How long have you guys been married?
We just had our 35th anniversary. Of course, we got married quite young, and had our 35th wedding anniversary in August.
Well, congratulations. That's fantastic. Okay.
Thank you.
Since this is Fiber Hooligan, let's get into the meat of this thing. Before we get to the show, I want to give our listeners a little history about you. Can you tell us about you? Give us your history.
Well, I did a few things. I didn't finish school before I had children, so I went back to school when I was 34, got my degree in music education. And I taught middle school and high school band and choir for 11 years. And when I started feeling the need to get out of the teaching world and was casting about for other things to do, it was the same time that I was falling back in love with the fiber arts industry and with knitting. And I was reading the Yarn Harlot blog, and I found out about Ravelry, and I got on Ravelry, and it was this whole community, and I was just so giddy and excited and thrilled, and everything has really blossomed from there.
And that was right around 2007 that you started getting back into the swing of the fiber arts community. So
you
went online, you found Ravelry, and through Ravelry, you found kindred spirits that were close by.
I did. There was a group that had been started by someone who has since become a close personal friend, Rachel Fitzhugh, now Rachel Varighi. And she started that group, and when she wanted an extra moderator for the group, I volunteered. And so we have moderated the group together. It's an Arkansas group, has over 600 members now. And we were just so excited and giddy and thrilled to have discovered each other in the state of Arkansas when we had no idea we weren't alone. And everybody was like, "Hey, we ought to go on a yarn crawl," and "Hey, we ought to go to a farm," and "Hey, we ought to get together and spin." And so I had a little bright idea that turned into something big after a while, and we can go into that a little bit later. But, yeah, it was just a really exciting time.
So you're meeting up with these folks, exchanging skills, getting enthused, and, you know, that happens. You get a couple of fiber hours together, and the enthusiasm and the inspiration just kind of, you know, blossom. It's a wonderful thing. But you went beyond that. You actually got into the industry for a while. I know for a time, when I first met you, in fact, you were a yarn rep. And before I ask you to tell the story, I want to explain to our listeners what a yarn rep is, because you may not know what a yarn rep is. Suppliers and yarn manufacturers can't visit every single local yarn store in America, and so they hire yarn reps to serve an area. Yarn reps run around with samples and sample garments and yarn and pricing structures, and they visit yarn stores and they educate yarn stores about the supplier's fibers, and they sell them things. It's a tough job. It's a lot of travel. It's usually commission-based. But you did that for a good long time. Can you tell us how you got into it and what that was like?
Yeah, about the same time I was getting into Ravelry and into the knitting world, and I answered a Ravelry ad by someone named Ron Miskin, who was looking for some online help for his company Buffalo Gold. And I did some work for them online, and they introduced me to the world of TNNA. And they were the first ones to suggest that they thought that I would like being a yarn rep, and at the time I was still teaching, but when I realized I needed to get out of teaching, I had just really burned out. I thought, well, this I might give this yarn rep thing a try. And so Ron and Cecil Miskin and Ron's wife, Teresa, have been just so kind in welcoming me into the community, and they introduced me to Carl and Eileen Koop, and I represented Buffalo Gold and Bijou Basin Ranch right from the start, and Taki Stacy Charles and Bezier de France, Collage, Art Yarns, and several other companies. And I traveled to 7 different states: Arkansas, Oklahoma, Texas, Louisiana, Mississippi, Tennessee, and Missouri. And I did a lot of travel, and I loved every minute of it because I got paid to go to yarn shops.
That's a lot of travel. I mean, that was that hard at home? Because that sounds like you're on the road most of the time.
I was on the road most of the time. Fortunately, my husband's a very independent kind of guy, and I didn't worry too much about him when I was on the road, and he didn't worry too much about me. I think it was harder on my mother, who lives here in town with us, and I think she worried more. And one of the blessings of being home is that I'm able to spend more time with her, and she doesn't worry quite as much about me. I finally reached a point where I really wasn't making the money that I needed to make traveling as much as I was traveling. There aren't just yarn shops on every corner in the South, and I was having to do a lot of travel between yarn shops, and it just was stretching our budget a little too much. So I did that for a couple of years, and then decided that I needed to go ahead and find something else. I'm now doing medical transcription from home and enjoying that very much. And I'm getting a whole lot more knitting done now that I'm not a yarn rep. So I'm doing a lot of knitting and spending more quality time with my husband and my mother. But I really did enjoy that time as a yarn sales rep and getting to know the people in the industry.
Well, and I can only imagine how, you know, educational that can be from, you know, a knitting and crochet standpoint as well. Most of the Fiber Hooligans know that, you know, before we were a publication and events management company, we were a little town, downtown Golden Fleece, a local yarn store in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. And there's always I would think that there's always at every local yarn store a table where you sit around and you learn and you share and you get inspired. I mean, that must have been remarkable from an education standpoint, to be in front of so many different shop owners with so many different skill sets.
Absolutely. And I was able to sit down and knit with many of these people and their customers. And it was just a really welcoming experience. It was really enjoyable. And I did see a lot of different techniques being taught and being practiced. And it's funny because shops have such unique personalities to them, and they take on the personalities of their owners and managers. And, you know, one shop will have majority bulky yarns and knit these, you know, quick knit bulky yarn things, and they just can't keep those yarns in the shop fast enough to satisfy their customers' demands. And then other shops will have the finest lace weight yarn and sock yarns and just sell that galore, and just a lot of different personality no matter where I went, no matter which state I went, which part of the country, because even in the South there are different parts of the country. And it was really enjoyable.
Well, it was during that time that you and I really met. I think we had met at one point at a TNA just really briefly once, but we actually got a chance to really sit down and talk. And I believe that was at our second Stitches South in Atlanta. Do you remember that show?
Yes, I remember. I went. I was working with Mark and Susan Maraca and Erica Owens of Collage Yarns, and I was working in their booth, and I just really enjoyed it. I was very impressed with the whole Stitches experience, and got to hang around with them and you and Jeannie Randolph and Carl and Eileen Coop and Marley Bird and just a bunch of really fun people. And I was just really impressed. We have modeled a lot of our event strategies on some of the things I learned at Stitches. So, yes, I really enjoyed Stitches and meeting you and getting to spend time with you.
Oh, it was, you know, I remember that show, and it was a lot of fun. And you know, Mark and Susie are a kick, and you fit in right with them because, you know, you're just fun. Everybody that knows this lady knows how much fun she is. But you brought it into it, and so let's get right to talking about the Arkansas Fiber Arts Extravaganza. Before we get into saying what it is, let's give people the history. And again, this started out from the Ravelry group. You said that it morphed in something. So why don't you tell us the history? Because it's a fun history.
Absolutely. Well, in our group, in our Ravelry Arkansas group, we were saying we ought to do a yarn crawl, and we ought to visit sheep farms, and we ought to do this and that. And I got to looking around and thinking, well, you know, let's do something. And I live in Paris, Arkansas, which bills itself as the gateway to Mount Magazine. And we have a brand new, beautiful lodge at the top of Mount Magazine. It's called The Lodge at Mount Magazine. And I talked to them, and they allowed us the free use of their great hearth room in the lodge. And I just took it upon myself to schedule a day that we called a knit and spin day. And we invited people from in the Ravelry group and through different yarn shops and just, you know, by word of mouth. And we had 27 people gathered that first time. One person even from Oklahoma. And we had no agenda. We strictly just met and got to know each other. We had a real fun community scarf going on where everybody just picked a yarn of their choice out of the yarn ball and knitted a few rows, and it got wider and narrower and had big stitches and little stitches. And we had a drawing at the end of the day for who got that community scarf. And it was a lot of fun. And we started dreaming big things from there. And it became bigger from there. We included knitters and crocheters and spinners and weavers because there were so few of us around that we didn't want to turn anyone away. And so the next year we did it again, and we scheduled a few free presentations just by a few of the people that we knew that, you know, we had a presentation about, you know, using a Cricut loom, and we had a presentation about modular knitting and a presentation about using natural dyes, and that went over really well. But then people were saying, oh, they couldn't hear in the great room because there was too much noise. So we evolved into having classes in actual classrooms. And we thought, well, wouldn't it be nice if we had vendors? So the first year we had vendors, we had 5 vendors, and that went over really well. And so we just each year kind of ramped it up a little bit. And it has turned into, we finally knew we needed to name it something extravagant. So that's what we came up with, was the Arkansas Fiber Arts Extravaganza. And that's how we have gotten to where we are today.
Well, so eventually you outgrew this beautiful place up there, and you had to move it. And, you know, you're a long way from 27 people coming anymore. Let's just mm-hmm. give a quick overview of, you know, how big is it now? Just rough stats. You don't have to get into
such. Okay. Well, we had 34 vendor booths filled up last year. I think we had like 17 vendors. We had 34 vendor booths filled up. the witch totally filled up the room that we had available as the vendor room. We had all of the 90 rooms at the lodge at our last event at the lodge. We had all of the 90 rooms at the lodge plus all of the cabins rented. People were expressing bitter disappointment that they couldn't come because they couldn't find lodging. We overran the food services. We overran the parking. And as much as we hated to give up our beautiful location, we knew we needed to find a place where we could grow. And so we had a board of three people. We researched several places around the state. And we settled on a beautiful convention center in Hot Springs with the adjoining embassy suites. And we've been there for 2 years now, and it's been really successful. Our expenses have multiplied greatly by going from free use of the facilities at the lodge if we book all their rooms to now paying for our facilities. But the event has grown enough that we're able to cover that now. And we had, last year we had just over 300 people. And we're widely expanding our promotional efforts this year, both in advertising and in social media and in podcasts and in print media throughout the state. And we are fully expecting closer to 400 people this coming year.
It really is growing. I have been such a fan of this event. Of course, you and I have talked about the event for the last couple of years, and I'm really impressed by its growth. You know, the market is not the best market in the world for anything, and you know, you guys are getting it done, and I think that you're getting it done because you're so disciplined, and obviously there's a need for it. I want to make a point about your show in comparison to Stitches. Stitches is a privately owned and run business by me and my partners, and it is a business. Your show is actually set up as a 501c3, and so you're really doing this for the love of the game. I'd like you to talk about that, why you did it, and, I'd like you to talk about why you set it up this way. Yeah.
Okay, well, as we started trying to cover our expenses and we had to start charging, the natural questions that people started asking were, where is this money going? And, you know, we wanted to be totally open and clear and let people know that this was not going into our pockets and that we are strictly a volunteer organization, and we're here to promote the fiber arts in the community. So we went through the somewhat grueling task of forming a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. With the assistance, I should add, of the legal school at the University of Arkansas in Fayetteville, with the legal assistance of their law students there and their advisors. And our stated purpose is to educate the public and to can carry on the traditional fiber arts in the community, and to, you know, encourage an appreciation in the fiber arts. And we're very open with our budgeting, and all of our inflow helps cover our outflow for the following year, and it has worked really well for us.
Well, I just think it's worth noting because, you know, this is not something that you guys are making a living on. You're doing it for, you know, pretty great reasons. Just, you know, just to get out there and bang on the drum and create some enthusiasm and some interest and hopefully some new fiber artists out there. I actually can't imagine it. You and I have joked many times about how hard it is to run an event and how hard it is to try to keep everybody happy.
Yeah. I had a teacher one time who was contacting me for about the fourth time for something, and she said, she commented that she felt sorry for me, that she knew it was probably like herding cats. And I agree that it's probably about like that sometimes.
Well, you do the handling of everybody, and it's, you know, folks, it is hard to run an event. I will tell you that it is unbelievably hard to keep everybody happy. There are many different people that want many different things from a show, and sometimes keeping one group happy, you know, is absolutely in contradiction with keeping somebody else happy, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's
a juggling act. It's a real juggling act. You know, and I can't, it's hard enough. I can't imagine doing it and also having it be just a charity thing. So, you know, you're a better person than I, let's put it that way. Okay. So.
Well, it's a lot easier having a board when it's all one person or one or two or three people. It's hard to make those tough calls, and, you know, but when you have a board, it's easier to make your decisions and stand by your decisions and go with it. And people seem to hopefully accept it a little better. But yeah, overall, it's been quite well received.
That's good. And I should clarify my position too. I am by no means in charge of anything. I'm a host of the show and have a little input on policy, but it's people like Mavis Smith, Molly Bonestro, and Christy Miller that run to the day-to-day things. We meet, and, you know, I certainly know what you mean. I couldn't do it without them either. And I forgot Lisa Manis and Jason Bittner. I'm going to forget a whole bunch of people. So staff and gang at Stitches, I'm sorry. All right. So the last few years, you've gotten some big names for your show. Can you give us some highlights?
Yeah. Well, we have some Arkansas celebrities who we featured in the earlier years. We had Kay Metters and Renee Barnes, who were really well received. We had Mary Beth Temple, and then we had Annie Modisett. And last year we had the Mason-Dixon ladies. And we kind of had a coup. We were able to get Stephanie Pearl McPhee to agree to come. She couldn't come in December at that time, and we had been talking about having a smaller, more intimate retreat still at Mount Magazine to maintain that tradition. So we had a retreat this past spring in May, with Stephanie Pearl McPhee that was a huge success and went over really well. And we have big names in the hopper for future events. We're choosing not to publicize those names yet, just to keep the limelight on the people, the big name people we have coming now. This year in December, we have Sally Melville coming, who is a celebrated author and designer and teacher. And we are really looking forward to having her. She is teaching 15 hours worth of classes, plus giving a keynote address. And we are really looking forward to featuring her at this year's event.
Oh, she's an amazing speaker, you know, and a very knowledgeable knitter. So that's going to be great. How many classes and how many teachers do you have for this year's event?
Okay, we have a total of 35 classes. Besides Sally, we have 15 teachers, some of whom are also vending. We typically try to provide a teaching opportunity for our vendors to help them cover their expenses, but some of them are strictly just coming for the teaching. And we have Elizabeth Green Musselman is a fairly well-known name, and Denise Bell of Lost City Knits is teaching, and we have several others. I could list them all. Gina Levesque, Valerie Zumwalt has been popular. Her classes have all sold out in past years. Russ McAllister, Eileen Anderson volunteered to do some rug hooking classes, and those have been really well received. Andrea Warfield, Amy Barber, Robin Koenig, Sally Ball, Kathy Burnett, Dawn Ryden of Dawning Dreams, Tammy Eastburn, Chelsea Garrett, and Lisa Hudson. And our keynote address by Sally is Why We Do What We Do, The Importance of Working With Our Hands. And this was something we felt like would have a broad appeal to even the public. You could bring a friend who is a non-fiber person and possibly get something out of this keynote address. So we're really excited about that.
I'm sure it's going to be a great keynote. I wish I could be there. Can you tell us a little bit about the market and some of the great vendors you have this year?
Okay, we have 21 vendors so far. We are still accepting applications from qualified vendors. We have a cross generation from Wagner, Oklahoma, who actually has to do with rug hooking. We have Art of Spinning, Karen Palakos and her husband from Springfield, Illinois, who have always been popular when they have come in the past. We have Butterfly Girl Designs from Arlington, Texas, Cattywampus from Dallas, Texas, CJ Kopek Creations from Allegan, Michigan. We have a new vendor this year, Color in Stitches from Harrison, Arkansas. It's an Arkansas company, which is a button and jewelry company. And we feel like that will complement our vendor market nicely. Daisy Knits, Effingham, Illinois. Fiber Lady, Louisville, Texas. Hank of Yarn is a yarn shop in South Haven, Mississippi, who is always popular. Yarn shop from Arkadelphia, Arkansas, Claire Gerke, Knit Unto Others. She always focuses on fair trade products, and she always does her booth up very nicely with little gift items and doodads and knickknacks, and she's always very popular. Knitting Fairy from Grand Prairie, Texas. Knitting Notions from Nashville, Tennessee. Knitting Rose Yarns from Keller, Texas. They have their own podcast, by the way. And
yes.
They also feature some Buffalo Gold yarns as well. Lost City Knits from Lost City, Oklahoma. And, of course, Denise Bell is also a teacher and designer. And we have Magic and Moonshine from Madison, Wisconsin. They were very popular this past year. My Heavenly Creations from Memphis, Tennessee. Pearl and Loop from Houston, Texas. Skyloom Weavers from Cat Springs, Texas. Stitchville, a yarn shop and sewing shop from Ruston, Louisiana. And I was the first sales rep to call on this young lady when she first started her shop, and it's been a pleasure for me to see her grow. And I am really looking forward to having her at this event. And Yorkie Slave Artworks from Bella Vista, Arkansas. And as I say, we are still accepting applications from qualified vendors. Our guests have told us that they are looking for unique commercial yarns, indie dyed hand yarns. We already have a lot of fiber people, hand dyed fiber already coming, so we're not necessarily soliciting that, but feel free to apply. Mostly people like bags and doodads and gift items and notions and needles and sock yarn always goes up real well because it's always a souvenir yarn. We're really well pleased with how rounded our vendor room is turning out to be. And we look forward to filling it out even more.
Well, it sounds like a great lineup. Some of those people I know myself. So last year you said you had a little over 300 people through the show. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And this year you anticipate 400?
Close to it, yes. Mm-hmm.
That's a heck of a jump. That's a nice double-digit jump. So that's fantastic, and congratulations on that.
Thank you. We are marketing on Facebook, which we have not done before, and that seems to be really well received and reaching a widespread audience. We're marketing on Ravelry, which we do, which we've done almost every year. And I am visiting with you on your podcast and going to be visiting with Molly Bird on her podcast. We're sponsoring the Knit Girls video cast this month in September, and we're pursuing the Arkansas media to pursue the Arkansas audience, and we just have a feeling there's going to be quite a jump in attendance.
Well, that's great. Now, there is also a charity aspect to all your shows, and I'd like you to tell us about the charities you're supporting this year.
All right. In the past, we have supported Heifer International. We've had a yarn winding booth that we've collected donations and have donated a fiber-producing animal to Heifer International, which is actually an Arkansas-based international charity and is quite worthy. This year, we have the Arkansas Children's Hospital Knitting for Noggins program is one of our sponsors. And so we are serving as a collection point for the hats, for the Knitting for Noggins, which is a fairly well-known charity. And they have a website with guidelines for hats. They seem to have all the preemie hats they need. They're looking now for more older children and teenage-type hats of both genders. And so we'll be supporting them this year. And we're looking forward to having a really big turnout of donations of hats for them.
Well, that's great. I'm so happy that you're supporting charities, and you know it's important to remember that you know what we do is something that you know we don't need to do. These are labors of love, and as we're buying yarn and we're taking educational tracks, it's so important to have the opportunity to give back.
I agree. We agree.
So I'd like to talk to you about the incredibly inclusive nature of your show. I mean, you've got everything. And you laughed us several times by how inclusive you are. You know, at our shows, at Stitches, it's knitting and crocheting, some spinning, a little weaving. But you have got everything. I mean, it's amazing. Can you talk about all the different things you have? Because it's phenomenal as I look through the class list.
Sure. We really started out not wanting to turn anybody away. You know, we felt like there were few enough of us, you know, in common with one another anyway, that we didn't want to turn anybody away. And we've also learned that people who are adept at one craft, if they're not adept at another craft, they're certainly curious about it. And so we realize we can't be all things to all people. And so, you know, one year, you know, you may have the crocheters a little disappointed at the offerings, or another year you may have the weavers a little disappointed at the offerings, but we still try to include as much as we can. And rug hooking has gone over really well. The tatting demonstrations have gone over well, and we may even eventually introduce a class on tatting. We just really enjoy introducing people to a lot of different arts that are considered part of the fiber arts and part of the same family and that people are interested in.
Well, that's fantastic. So tatting, you actually have tatting there.
Well, we had a demonstration, and I think we're going to have a tatting demonstration this year. But I suspect that we're going to have at least one tatting class proposal. We invited the person who's doing the demonstration this year to submit a tatting class proposal for next year. So we could be offering a class in it for next year.
Oh, that's fantastic. And again, kudos to you for doing it. You know, and you're right. It's really hard to keep everybody happy, especially when you've been inclusive. There's always somebody that says not enough or too much of the other. My advice to you is run your race and don't listen to that too much. Now, I love the fact that your show has a fleece fiber aspect to it, very akin to you know, an outdoor fiber fest. Can you talk about that? I mean, obviously you can't have animals. You're in a convention center, but you are a lot closer to the fleece. Can you talk about that?
Right. We're an indoor show, so we don't have the animals. That's the reason why we also don't have a lot of dye classes as well. We don't have ready access to running water and stuff like that, so that kind of limits us. But it's not unusual to have booths with bags of fiber in them and bags of whole fleeces and fiber. And one thing that was big this past year was the handkerchiefs, the silk handkerchiefs that you can spin or knit directly off of. And people love the fiber and the shininess and the color and the potential for how this yarn is going to look after it's spun up. And so we do have a lot of fiber included in the show.
And the pictures from last year were great. And now this year you started a brand new sponsorship program. Of course, you know, we have a sponsorship program at Stitches as well,
mm-hmm.
and you really geared up for that. And it's an impressive sponsorship program. Can you tell us about it?
Sure. We have three levels, Merino, Cashmere, and Cubute. And at the Merino level, a sponsor gets listed on our program, listed on our website. They have a logo on our welcome banner, and the logo goes on a tote, which goes home with every pre-registered guest. So we feel like that's a tidy little package that, you know, takes your advertisement home with every pre-registered guest and is a good sponsorship. And then the Cashmere has all those same things, plus you also get a program ad in our printed program. And you're also sponsoring either a classroom or the demonstration area or a sit-in stitch area. And the Cubute program has the tote, the program ad, and they're sponsoring either our meetup that we're having at the end of the event or the keynote address. And we have gotten several commitments. I offered the opportunities to vendors first at a decreased cost because they already got some of the sponsorship benefits. And we've had several people, including you and Stitches, commit to being sponsors. And we are expecting, you know, we have tentative agreements on several more. We have Lost City Knits is a sponsor, CJ Kopeck Creations, Arkansas Children's Hospital with the Knitting for Noggins program, Stitches, and Knitting on the Corner, which is an interesting partnership with a yarn shop in Hot Springs. She is open during our event, and so she doesn't vend at our event, but a lot of people like to go catch her shop and knit there, and so she is very active in helping promote the event. And even in encouraging some of the other local businesses to become sponsors as well. So we have an interesting partnership going on there.
Well, that's great. Ron Miskin is in the chat room right now, and I think he's offended because there's no bison level.
Oh. Oh, well, I would put that kind of up on the list with potentially the Cubute level, if you ask me. Maybe
okay.
We need to make it Cubute / Bison.
Cubute / Bison level. Just for you, Ron. Just for you. We're responsive
yeah.
here.
Thank you, Ron.
So,
yeah, we do listen.
So I wanted to make a quick plug for this. Of course, I'm aware of the sponsorship. As soon as I heard about it, I signed us up as a sponsor because the cost-to-benefit ratio is just great. You've got a nice growing show. I didn't know how to not do it. It was such a good deal. And so I am going to tell anybody out there who's a fiber hooligan that maybe is at the reseller or supplier level, hey, if you're looking for, you know, a fairly reasonable sponsorship opportunity and get your name in front of, you know, 300 to 400 qualified buyers, you should get a hold of Ann. You really should. I think it makes all the sense in the world.
Well, we appreciate that.
My pleasure. So I really do love the show, and I love the way things are going. They seem to be going great. You know, what are your goals eventually for the show?
Well, we are already seem to be a regional show, but we really aspire to be a regional show and ultimately a national show. There are just not that many events in the South. And we have people come from all over the country. We've had people from New York. We've even had people from California. Some people, you know, scheduled to meet their friends here to have a reunion with their friends and come to the event. We just aspire to be a recognized show and be a presence in the show world with our unique niche and almost retreat-like feel. And just we really want to be a staying power in the industry.
Well, I think you're well on your way. Now, earlier you said something. I just recall that you said something. You said that there was a meetup after the show. Can you describe what that is?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. The event is officially over at 6 p.m. on Saturday evening with the closing of the vendor room. Many people are spending the night there and not leaving until Sunday. And so we are planning an off-site meetup, probably at a brew pub or something similar. We were going to call it, you know, associated with a particular organization, but we've decided that we want to make it inclusive, that, I mean, if you're a podcaster and want to have your podcast people meet you there, or if you are a vendor and want to have your customers meet you there, if you're a teacher and want to have your teachers meet you there, then we really want to encourage people to come and kind of let their hair down and just to have a relaxing roundup and end to the event. And we just feel like that's a nice way to celebrate the end of the event.
Well, there's two things. First, I love the fact that this is actually part of your agenda. I love that because it goes to the second point. There is no such thing as an event that should not be followed by an adult beverage somewhere. It just is. It's wrong. It's wrong. They're stressful. They're hard. And you know, if you're not tipping something back at the end of a show, you know, you're just not doing something right. And I love the fact that you understand that and you made that part of the event. It's got to be a popular
mm-hmm.
venue.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, of course, that's, you don't have to tip back. You can have your soda water if you like, but just to
or
just
your diet
Dr.
Pepper.
Relax. Yeah, your Diet Coke, which is my beverage of choice. Just to relax, let your hair down. Phew, we did it. It's another year. event is a nice way to wind things down.
Remember what I told you once? Any event you can walk away from, it's just like a plane landing. Is a successful one.
Yeah, there you go. I do remember you telling me that.
Okay, so I wanted to give you a chance. I know you've had a lot of help over the years for the show, and I thought I'd give you a chance to talk about some of the board members, past and present, that have helped you grow the show, because I know it's important to you to give them some credit.
Mm-hmm. Right from the start, Rachel Fitzhugh, now Rachel Fitzhugh Verige, was with me right from the start. And Elizabeth Taylor wasn't far behind. And yes, it's Elizabeth Taylor. No, not the Elizabeth Taylor, but both of these have become very dear friends of mine. And things have progressed for them, we've moved on. Our next person we added to the board was Heather Zabinden. And as Rachel and Elizabeth have moved along, we've had Melinda Wright on the board. We now have Heather, Tish McAllister, Betsy Hart, and Patrice O'Donohue. And we're a very smooth functioning board right now. And we're potentially to the point where we want to add two more to make it a 7-member board. But for right now, we have 5 members, and we're gonna. It's moving pretty smoothly for this year. So we're just gonna see how it goes. And each of us has our own role. I'm apparently in charge of the publicity, and so I'm the voice of the event. But that doesn't mean I'm in charge. I mean, we're all just working together. And it's just we really enjoy working together.
That's great that you wanted to acknowledge them. I think that's very classy. And I want to make sure that we give everybody the dates and the overall venue information from this show. So can we start by giving the dates and then just kind of go through, you know, what day it opens and that kind of thing and how it progresses?
Mm-hmm. Sure. It's open Thursday through Saturday, December 5th through 7th. 2013. It's at the Hot Springs Convention Center. We have three of the classes that we're offering on Thursday afternoon are actually 6-hour workshops that we wanted to have for the people who were really ready to dig their teeth in and do some serious learning. And so we have three 6-hour workshops, plus a couple of other shorter classes that Thursday afternoon. The vendor room opens at 3 that day and is open till 8. So you won't get a lot of traffic, but those most serious people will have an opportunity to hit the vendor room. Friday we'll have more classes. Vendor room, we'll have a fashion show right before the vendor room opens where the vendors are having a chance to show their sample garments and advertise what's in their booths. Then the vendor room will be open. We'll have classes. We'll have the keynote address and Sally Melville, and we'll be signing her book that night. Her newest book is called Knitting Essentials, and it is jam-packed full of everything. If you pre-register, you have an opportunity to pre-order that book, and she'll be signing her book there. Saturday, we have the fullest day of classes. We actually have a guest fashion show where the guests get to show off their special garments and things that they have made. We have door prizes throughout the event. And then, of course, we have the brew pub meetup that Saturday evening as well. And we are associated with the Embassy Suites, which is next door. They're giving us an event rate, and it comes with a cook-to-order breakfast in the morning. They have the manager's open bar in the evenings from 5 to 7, and it's just been a really nice association with them. If you want to make a reservation through the Embassy Suites, you need to call their desk locally. Do not call the toll-free number. You need to call their local desk to get the block that we have registered. If you register in advance, access to the entire event is only $15, and that gets you access to all 3 days, access to the vendor room, a ticket to the keynote address, tickets to the fashion shows, the meetup, door prize tickets. You get a souvenir tote bag, an opportunity to pre-order a T-shirt, and the book by Sally Melville. There will be a $7 vendor pass available for Saturday from 1 through 6 p.m. Some of the people in Arkansas who don't want to make a whole weekend of it want to just drive down for the day, so we've made it where they can come in and just be there for the day, for the afternoon. And in addition, if you register for the event, then you're eligible to sign up for any of the classes.
That's a lot of value for $15. The tote, the mm-hmm. keynote address, access. That's pretty. And then of course you can buy classes in addition to that. That's very reasonable. And guess what? As a special treat for Fiber Hooligans, I think you're going to give something away. We're not going to do this live, listeners, but we are going to be running the giveaway on our Fiber Hooligans Ravelry group. And so before we get to how it's going to work, Anne, will you tell us what you're giving away today?
Right. What we're giving away is two free $15 event registrations, which doesn't sound like I'm a lot of money, but it is a lot of value for the money. And so we're happy to give that away to the Fiber Hooligan listeners. And we will let you organize the drawing or the selection as you see fit, Benjamin. And I'll let you tell about that. But we're happy to give that to the listeners. And we hope we encourage people to come to our event.
Yeah, I think this is a great thing. And again, you hear $15 and it doesn't sound like a lot, but let's look at this. This is access to the market all the way through. It is a presentation by a wonderfully talented author, Sally Melville, and the tote bag. I mean, this is a nice little gift. So if you're going to be in the area, we're going to put that up on the Ravelry group. I'm going to start a thread today. And I'd like to ask Fiber Hooligans, if you really can't be in the area, don't go into it on spec. Let's let people that are actually going to be there get this thing. So, and I wanted to thank you, Anne. That's very generous of you. I really do appreciate it.
Well, we appreciate your opportunity to be here and to tell people about it.
Again, you've got a classy show, and it's just going to get bigger. So let's get off the show quickly, because I understand that you have a new venture that you're about to start. Any chance we can get you to tell our listeners about that?
Yes, I am getting ready to start, hopefully within the next month, a business called Anne's Fine Hand Knits. And I am focusing on potentially not having a huge number of items for sale at any one time, but having them be larger, more delicate pieces, high-end. We're looking at delicate lace shawls, bigger works, potentially sweaters, and just some fine hand knits and things that we think that people are willing to buy for an investment in their craftsmanship and their artistry. And I will be starting that business within the next month, probably on Etsy. I've been waffling back and forth between going on Etsy or going on my own website. And I just had a conversation this morning with someone who kind of convinced me that I should start out on Etsy and then potentially go from there. But it's going to be called Anne's Fine Hand Knits.
Oh, that's fantastic. I've seen your work before, so it's going to be great. And congratulations on the new venture.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay, well, we're coming into the end of the show here. And before we wrap this up, I asked this of all my listeners, and so I'm going to ask you, and I did give you fair warning. Do you have a final message that you'd like to share with our listeners?
Well, my main thing is that we encourage you to attend the event if you can. It's a great value for the money. But I also want to thank Benjamin for all the time he has spent and donated generously and the advice he has given to me over the last few years, and for the opportunity to talk about the event on his show today. He's just been a really good support, and I really appreciate that and the opportunities that he's kind of helped open up for me. I also, now that I know that Ron is on, want to particularly thank Ron Miskin for the doors that he opened up for me as well. He's a very generous person, and he, of course, will say that people were very generous to him and his father when they were first getting into the industry as well. And so I think it's kind of a pass-it-along type thing. But I do appreciate all your help and advice and the opportunity to be on your show today.
You're very welcome. That was very kind. it's a joy to talk with you. You've been very patient with me in the past. You've sort of needed me sometimes, and I haven't been available. And you've always been really cool about it. I really do appreciate that. But
you don't owe me anything.
but no one moves throughout life without friends. And the easiest thing that we can possibly do is just have a conversation and say, "Have you thought about looking at it like that?" And you know, folks, that may not seem like a big thing, but it really is a big thing. You know, so many people do things for the first time, and, you know, we have an opportunity all the time to be, you know, kind of decent. And, it, you know, for me, you know, I almost blush hearing you talk about me, but, you know, but I do sort of get the idea that we all need to talk to people. You can get awfully isolated out there in the world, and it's not a good thing.
Yeah. So it is.
Well,
it does help to be connected.
Absolutely. So I want to thank you again for joining us today and making us part of your Monday. I hope you'll come back sometime.
Thank you.
All right. That was Ann Hamilton Bean talking to us about the Arkansas Fiber Arts Extravaganza. You can check out the show at arfiberartsextravaganza.com and on their Facebook page and on their Ravelry page. Please check them out. And if you get a chance, you need to meet this lady because she is a lot of fun and she is very, very sweet. I want to remind you that Stitches registration for Stitches West 2014 classes, events, and ETC workshops will open tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. Central Time. The server and the phones are going to get hit hard tomorrow morning, so I'm asking for your patience during the registration process. If this is the first you're hearing about the opening of the show, I really do apologize for that. We do try hard to make sure that we get the word out in several different ways. If we missed you and you're not happy about that, you can make sure that you don't miss any news about Stitches, Knitters Magazine, or XRX Books by signing up for our e-newsletter at knittinguniverse.com/newsletter. Next week, oh, this is so great. Next week, my guest will be a living legend in the fiber arts community, Meg Swanson of Schoolhouse Press. For those of you who don't know who Meg is, which is really hard to imagine, she was taught to knit by her mother, British-born designer and writer Elizabeth Zimmerman. I've had the great privilege and pleasure of knowing Meg for most of my life. I think I was 9 or 10 when I first met her. And I'm very excited that she's graciously agreed to join us on Fiber Hooligan. This is a show you will not want to miss. For those of you who have missed anything in this podcast, I invite you to join us on our Ravelry group, Fiber Hooligans, or in our Fiber Hooligans Facebook group. Our moderator, Tammy Burke, does a great job of making sure we answer questions and provide follow-up to any questions or links that we mentioned might have mentioned on the show. I also want to make sure that you know that I'm eager to hear from you. You can email me questions, recommendations, critiques, and feedback at benjamin@fiberhooligan.com. I don't promise to respond to every email or message, but I do promise to do my best to read them all. If you ask a really great question or have an inspired idea, I may even read your email on the podcast. Well, that's our show, Fiber Hooligans. As we slide on out of here today, I'd like to wish you all a glorious week. Remember, the only thing better than being creative is being kind to each other. The good news, you can do both. Thank you for spending this time with us. I'll see you next week on another edition of Fiber Hooligans.